Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 70th Locarno Festival, and I'm so pleased to be joined by actress Golshifteh Farahani, who acts in a wonderful film presented here called The Song of Scorpions. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's about as much of the structured interview as it's going to be, except for the first question I'm going to ask you, and that's just a very simple one for our listeners. If you could just tell us a little bit about your character and maybe the story that she's involved in this movie, that would be fantastic.
Nuran is a girl that is born in a shaman dynasty family. There are scorpion singers that they can hear the melody that the poison of scorpion creates when they sting a person, and they save people. And her life get poisoned by story of a rape, mm-hmm. by her lover, basically, someone that loves her. Well, he thinks that he loves her. And she somehow managed to, it's her journey, how she transforms this poison into something that is not poison. Mm. I mean, taking in the poison, but giving it out in another way.
What was it that drew you to it? What was it that caught your eye immediately?
It was Anoop, the director. I mean, when we saw each other for the first time, and also when we had this meeting, Anoop is a very special, extraordinary person. He's a poet, and his level of sensitivity is beyond. And he carries this magical, spiritual thing in him that is quite rare in cinema, because it's not really, this magic is not really there sometime, and he carries that with him. So when I saw him and he talked about the project with me, this, I didn't even read the script. I just tell him, I'm in, just you can count on me. And of course, when I read the script, I knew that this story needs to be told. And of course, when you read the script, you cannot see the desert, because desert is a character in this movie. But I knew that it's a very important subject to talk about.
And what about the character that you play? What did you admire in her? What did you like?
I think it's her journey and his stubbornness. Her stubbornness, her this fierté, you know, proudness, and sometimes narcissism in the beginning, and how this storm in her life breaks her down to ashes. And when they say you have to be destroyed to be able to be reborn, and she stand from these ashes, and she transform all these trauma into something which can lead her and so many people around her into beauty and light and life.
Yeah, I think that that's the great thing about the character that you play, is that she refuses to be a victim, and therefore it makes her journey all the more kind of compelling. You know, I don't know if you agree with that. So it's the fact that she doesn't act like a victim, but she's definitely experienced something powerfully violent.
Yes, I think most of the parts I've played in my life, they are definitely victims of a huge amount of injustice happening, either by the society, by the family, by so many other things. But I am also a victim myself, Golshifteh. I am a victim of a great injustice, living the life of exile with all its difficulties. At the same time, you can just transform the victim into the warrior and just use it as a force, as a source of inspiration, and just become something out of this grain. Because this grain is just, it will become a tree, and the fruits are important. It doesn't matter what the fruits are, the ones that are going to nourish us and others. So she's also, Nuran, the character, she's also a victim, but the fruit that is coming out of this incident, this event, is nourishment for herself and the others.
Do you think maybe it's necessary to, live through these moments of great pain and anguish and loss?
I think every human being has their own journey, and as we also say, you will be having things the amount of your capacity. So some people, they have to go through very rough time, and some people they don't. Some people, they're not even aware of anything. They're just coming and going with no awareness. Maybe I'm also one of them. I don't know, but these moments, I think these unwanted guests, they arrive in everyone's life. Accidents, sicknesses, loss, betrayal, lies, broken hearts, everything. It's just happening constantly in our lives. But it just depends if we are able to use them to become a better person or not.
Also, one of the things that's very hard, and sometimes it's to understand what that other person's problems are or what the pain they went through is. You know, maybe that could be... Do you ever feel that that's a problem when you act a role in a film, to be able to kind of carry that pain, to be able to share it with the world?
The thing is, if when you live a part and when you live it fully, then the result, you cannot really control the result. If the whatever the result would be, you have tried your best. And I think the job of, in general, artists, that's what they do, either with music or painting or whatever. They're trying to, it's like a bridge between two worlds. And if you can pass, if either you can pass this bridge or the spectator, like the people are watching it or hearing it or seeing it, they can pass this bridge, it's going to be a meeting point.
Yeah.
And that meeting point is the explosion of orgasm of art, where you go in the museum and you're just melting in beauty.
Yeah.
You see a movie and you remember it for the rest of your life. You hear a piece of music and your soul is caressed by beauty. It's food for your soul. So I think that's the whole mission, and that's the whole beauty of art, is that you just create a moment of eternity in other people's life and in other people's soul, that it's going to mark their life somehow.
Yes. And then music as well can help you, you know, heal from scorpion bites or poison in general. But then, is it then absolutely necessary for a work of art to have timelessness? You talked about a moment of eternity. I know I'm getting a little philosophical here, but I'm enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
For instance, in this film, it almost feels like it's out of time, because you don't even understand fully that it's set in modern times, especially because the desert, you know, is always there, and it always carries a sense of timelessness of its own, like a natural work of art, I guess. So is it important for a work of art, in this case a film, but not necessarily only a film, to be timeless?
I think the nature of noble art is to be timeless, because Beethoven, how can Beethoven or Bach be timeless? Or Van Gogh or Kubrick, or the nature of real art is to be timeless, like the nature. There is no time. And even some movies are set in the 50s or 60s, but they're still timeless, because they're talking about human structures or the most... The meanings of life, which are absolute, which are not going to evolve, like love or hate or betrayal. These are things that are universal.
Mm-hmm.
In Malaysia, people betray each other the same way as South Pole, if there's anyone living there. But that's the thing, is that... And then you have very limited movies which they might hit the box office or even win many Oscars, but in a decade, nobody even remember them.
Yeah, I think as well with films, for me anyways, it's become very of little importance whether a film does well in the box office or whether it wins awards, because I always perceive some movies, but actually all films, as having that longevity of, like, you know, your performance being there forever, let's say, if it's preserved, and maybe being seen in hundreds of years' time. Do you ever think about that?
Not really, because in hundreds... years time, I'm probably my bones are like eaten by worms and like I think timelessness, as you were saying, is that just to live the present moment fully.
Okay.
And this present moment, it's a grain you are planting for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you just concentrate on the grain, the quality of the grain, the quality of the soil and water and the sun, this grain, there is no chance that it's going to be a poisonous grain if you pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just keep a grain in your hand and just think about the future, and maybe in the future I need to do this, I need to do that, you have never planted any grain.
I see.
You're just standing there thinking of something which is completely absurd. You might just cross the street and your car would just crash you and you will die in the next second. So I think to be concentrated on the present time is eternity.
Yeah.
That is the way you can build your past and future.
That is time. Yeah, to understand the moment, I guess, as well. So let's get back to the movie. This was fascinating talk, but I also want to talk about the work on the film.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that one of the big reasons that you wanted to make the film was because Anoop was such a great influence in that case. But what was it like working with him on set?
Well, he's such a poet, and the way he describes his needs or things he wants, it's very poetic, it's very beautiful.
Mm.
He's a very calm, gentle, sensitive person.
Yeah.
It's very, very, he's very slow in a good way, in a very calm way. It's that soothing. He's not agitated, or even if he is, you cannot see it. He's like a mountain or like something that is very soothing, like a little big river that you cannot hear, but it's very strong. So I enjoyed very much working with him. And also Irfan, which is my partner, Irfan Khan, his silence, his presence, because he doesn't talk much. So it was funny that this movie was a movie in the desert in silence mostly that was happening, in calmness. And
was there a lot of silence on the set?
When you work in India, you can just dream of silence. Silence
right.
doesn't really exist. But silence within people exists. Is that that's, I think, the most important thing, is that emptiness and that silence in a good way that you can feel. You can just have a moment of bliss with no words, no mind. You just live that moment, and that was amazing.
Obviously, then, another word that could be used to describe this film is musical. Not musical, the genre musical, although, you know, you could argue that, but it's not a musical in the traditional sense, especially in the Hollywood sense. But it's musical because it flows like a river in a very musical rhythm. And of course, music itself is very important. The folk music is wonderful. And how did you connect with this side? I know you're a singer yourself, but how did you connect with this side of the story?
Well, music is following me in my career like a shadow, one way or the other. Music is part of me. Music is in my blood, and I studied music and rhythm. I think life is about rhythm, about music, about math, you know. And I think if there is a heaven, that heaven, there is a music there. It can't be any heaven without music.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when I knew it's the singing and she's going to be the Scorpion singer, I was happy because, again, it means music is following me. And, of course, I was learning the songs. I was working on them. It's not my voice, but I had to really sing them so it will be really believable that it's her singing. It was very important for me. And I hope that it's good. I haven't seen the movie, but I hope that it works.
Well, in my opinion, it's very good. Possibly the best film I've seen in Locarno, but I definitely enjoyed the whole thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us about it. It was a great pleasure. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.